Sam Brock and Craig Lawson here from out at Ironwood Camp. We are dealing with a topic that is extremely important, the salvation of a soul. And this is one of those topics that we just want to make sure that we are going to the Word of God and we don't add to it, we don't subtract from it. One of the very first things that I ask our summer staff as we're looking at this whole topic is salvation something that is simple or complex? We usually get a few answers that are like, well, I was four when I got saved, and it's, you know, it's a pretty basic thing. And then those of us who've been saved for a long time, it's something we still don't understand. There's still much trying to, how does this all work? And I could ask you just a few questions like, how does blood wash? And, you know, before we know it, we'd be like, the brain circuits are frying here. I don't totally understand what this is all about. But that's part of what is so cool about salvation. I don't have to understand all of it to put my trust and faith in the words that God has given me. But at the same time I say that, there's some things that we need to know. So I'm going to kind of start here at the end, and then we're going to work our way back to that. In my mind, there's three, maybe four things that need to happen. Number one, a person has the realization that they're a sinner. Number two, they have a realization that God has the power to save. Now, that power to save was made obvious by the gospel, by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so the fact that God has the power to save, only He can do that, we see in the gospel. And then there is a choosing to trust or to believe in God and accept His gift. This isn't anything, any set of works that we do, but there is these things that we must believe. So let's start at the very beginning here, realizing that he is a sinner. I normally go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I love in the Word of God how there are these superlatives, like the word "all," that is just all-inclusive. It includes everybody. All have sinned, and we've come short of the glory of God. So as I realize that I'm a sinner, when I'm working with a young person, this is a question that I need to ask them. Do they understand what sin is? Do they understand what sin does in their life? To explain what that is, you go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Several fairly important words here that we want to make sure that a young person understands. The wages of sin. So all of us have sinned, and then we understand that with that sin comes this idea of a paycheck, something that I get in return for the sin that I have done. These wages of sin is death, and an eternal death. We would go to Rome, Revelation 20, 14 to share about that. It's not just dying here, like right here on earth. It is that death that separates me from God. But, and so we have a contrast here, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. And these are some of the words that really help us understand. This is nothing that I am doing. This is a gift that God gives me. This isn't an action like a paycheck. This is something that God gives to me. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're seeing that the contrast between this death and an eternity without God, and this eternal life and an eternity with God. This is all done through our Lord Jesus Christ. The realization that a person is a sinner, then comes the realization that God has the power to save. And we see this little statement through Jesus Christ our Lord. We see the gospel being shown in this little section right here. So then I go to the very common passage, John 3:16, and I love how simply and straightforward it shares the gospel with us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So we're seeing this process where we see that God gave his son down here to this earth. When we come to a realization that God has the power to save, where we see that is when Jesus Christ came down to earth, lived perfectly, and then died on the cross, was buried, was dead for those 3 days, and then rose again. As he rises again, we see that that's a power that only he has. Only he has power over death. None of us have the ability to say, oh, I'm going to die, and then I have the ability to wake up from that death. Only Jesus, only God has the power to save, and that's proved through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son. And that's belief in that, and that gift that God gives us is what gives us eternal life. And so from here, I'll normally move over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Once again, this passage is letting me know how this salvation takes place, that it's not anything that I do, but it's through the faith from the gift that I do not deserve that God makes possible. So a person, this person as they are coming to salvation would realize that they're a sinner, realize that God has the power to save, and then what that person does is they tell God or they put their belief in Christ. And so choosing to trust or believe in God and accept his gift is something we find in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We see in verse 10 here that a person believes in his heart. And then one of the things that we see is that a person shares and confesses what they believe in their heart. So as I share the fact that and if a person has never put their faith and trust in God, then this is something that we would encourage them to do. But it's not something that I'm going to say a prayer, say after me. I'm going to want to know what they believe in their heart. And as they pray, I'm listening for, do they realize that they're a sinner? Do they realize that God has the power to save, and do they put their trust in God and accept his gift? On occasion, as you're sharing these things, you see in your explanation or as they are listening that there's parts that they don't understand or they don't get. There's no problem to go back and talk about any one of these topics in more detail. Each one of these areas of realizing that you're a sinner, realizing that God has the power to save, and then choosing to trust and believe, there's plenty of other verses we could also go to deal with each one of these areas. But as I listen to that young person pray, that's what I am wanting to hear. Now, Craig, you've worked with counselors quite a bit, and I've just kind of gone through simply what these different areas are. What are some of the questions that counselors have? What are some of the things that people wonder about in this process of leading a young person to the Lord?
I think some of the hard things that counselors would do is when a kid says, can I pray to myself? That's something that we routinely go over. We have routine experience with it. In essence, my advice to them is to allow that to happen, allow them to pray to God and of themselves, by themselves, and then to ask. There needs to be a follow-up of what they prayed. So in essence, they're going to pray to God if they choose to do that by themselves. And then they're going to communicate. The counselor should ask after they finish their prayer, So what'd you tell him? And now it's not the first time they're saying it. They've said it in their head. so they can communicate those things. And that's the follow-up that you do. Very rarely do I look at a kid and say, congratulations, you just got saved. I'm going to trust that what they just believed answers that question. So I might ask a question, so have you accepted Christ, or are you leaning on Christ for salvation? And they can then answer that to me, but I never want to give a kid the answer that my counselor said I was saved. And so those are some things that we kind of adjust around and battle, but it's pretty important that we take them serious.
I know that prayer thing sometimes for them, they don't understand how that all works. I encourage them to pray if they will, share that out loud. That prayer is many times extremely simple. It's a fun thing to listen to. It's also my only way of knowing if there's an area that they don't understand or they don't get. If a young person doesn't get it after I've explained a couple of times, then we'll just come back and we'll talk about it again the next day. That's one of the beauties of camp, is that it doesn't all have to be understood in one sitting. Mm-hmm. It can happen over a couple of times. I just need to do that work of sharing that. On occasion, a speaker, many times actually, if a speaker is dealing with a salvation message, they've actually gone through all of this extremely clear. So they, in the components of counseling, they understand the problem, they're a sinner. They understand that God is the way, that he's given the gift of salvation. So they understand the give hope. And now at the invitation, it's just present the decision. Some of those times, it's really, all they're doing is praying what they believe right there with you, and you don't always have to go through everything again. If you're talking to somebody that might have raised their hand in a service and said, you know, I'm not sure about my salvation, I'd like somebody to talk with me, and now you're talking with them at another time, then that's a that will be a situation where you want to go through and show from the Word of God the very simple path of salvation. So I will at the end sometimes ask if they are saved, and they'll say yes, and I'll say why. And I want them to come up with an answer that says, because that's what God said he would do. Their trust now is in God, and it's not in like a prayer, and it's not in a little formula that we went through. They're just really trusting in God's word. I do enjoy the passage that says in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And this is many times a verse that I will finish up on that just shows them the strength of our God that can hold them, and the power that he has. And now we're just trusting in his word, and trusting in what he does. So when they're developing a plan with salvation, what's next? What do you tell a counselor now that young person is saved? What are some things that he should do that are part of his plan of being saved? Because this is kind of a one-time event in somebody's life. We're not wanting somebody to come back and say, I need to do that again. I need to do that again. No, once a person has accepted and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we're taking God at his word. They are saved. But what's the plan?
The plan is to communicate to somebody that every new believer should have somebody that disciples them. And so we are encouraging them, go tell someone. You're in essence asking for discipleship. And then really the follow-up for our counselors is to talk about what a relationship with God looks like, and then to talk about what baptism looks like. We don't push kids to those decisions. Baptism is something where you are testifying that I am a follower of Christ, and I want to be held accountable to my decision. And so we communicate those things, but really from really the rest of the week on, from that point of their salvation, we are teaching them really the basics of what Christian living should be. And really where that starts off is I'm going to walk in Christ. Colossians, we're going to go over it for summer 2019, but Colossians says, since I've therefore received Christ, I need to now walk in him. And Christ roots me, he builds me up, he establishes me, and I'm supposed to be grateful or thankful or have great gratitude for what Christ has done in me, that I continue in that. So we're teaching them what walking looks like, what walking with Christ looks like. That's devotions, that's prayer, that's church attendance. Some simple concepts, but some pretty big principles that will allow them to continue to grow after they leave camp.
So really, salvation opens up a whole, just a wide variety of where the Holy Spirit's going to really begin to work in their lives. And so I find myself wanting them to share what they've done with their cabin. And then sometimes you have a campfire time at the end of the week where they have an opportunity to share that with others. But to share what they believe would be a natural next step that they would have. And that baptism process is something that we really, that's one of the church ordinances, and that church would be very much involved in that process. So that's the very simplistic description of how a person would be led to the Lord. I find that some things that a person has to be really careful about is a young person may ask a question, and that question, sometimes we can find the answers in the Word of God, and sometimes we don't know that answer, and we have to basically share that this is something we are trusting God that He will take care of. So if I'm, say, I'm little Johnny, and I sit there and I say, so how does God take away all our sins? How does that work? Well, I don't know exactly how all that works. I just know that that's what God is able to do. If I sat there and I said, now tell me what, you know, we could go through all different questions and situations. We're not going to go through all of that, but you just want to be careful that we just go back to the Word of God and says, here's what He says. Do we believe what God's Word says? So those three things: realize that He's a sinner, realize that God has the power to save. That power to save is made obvious by the gospel, His death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. And then, number three, choosing to trust or believe in God and accept His gift. Our hope is that as you come to Ironwood, or you are working in any camp out and about, that we would take the truth of God's Word and share that with those who don't know. This decision is the most important decision that any human being can make. Their decision to put their faith and trust in Christ. Oh, how exciting it is to see young people, to see adults saved.